Very good. Well, it's wonderful once again to be together here this morning. And I want to share with you a couple of things from the gospel, which is familiar to us. The story of Jesus being baptized and the heavens being opened and the dove descending and the voice from heaven. All of that is, that's the part that goes viral on this story. The part that doesn't is the part I want to look at with you today, where it says Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him. And whenever it says, but Jesus, you know something's coming. Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. I think I had mentioned to you once or twice in the past, but just in case I haven't, there was somebody who was one of the leaders at the church we were at in Pennsylvania. And one day the bishop came to visit, and this particular individual was a lay reader and did all kinds of things in the service. And the bishop said, today in the service, I would like you to do this. And the man didn't skip a beat, didn't hesitate at all, and he says, Bishop, I could not do that. I have too many vices. I do things like wrong, and I can't do it. Well, now, maybe you and I would not be quite so quick to admit that that's the case with us. And we might not be quite so quick to say, I don't want to be serving God in this way in the service today because of my sinfulness. But a lot of us think it. And we have that lens where, okay, I'll try something, but I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I can actually fulfill the responsibility, partly because I'm not measuring up. All kinds of things can come to our mind like this, which say the same thing. I have too much sin. I have too much guilt. It's just not going to work out. I'm not going to be able to do it because of the way I live my life. And you can fill in the blank. I'll give you a few suggestions. I don't pray well enough, long enough, specifically enough, Christianly enough, whatever it is. I don't worship well. I mean, my mind wanders. I mean, you might even be thinking about lunch right now. You just might be. That's all right. You know, that's okay. We'll, because we're having potluck, and God will bless it. It'll be good. you might think, well, because I do that, I'm unworthy. And I just can't go into that. And that's what we see here in the baptism of Jesus. We see Jesus showing up and John the Baptist saying, whoa, wait a minute. Now, there's a reason for that. And it's the same reason that we feel that. But here's what's going on in this particular scene. As you know, we looked at John the Baptist about a month ago during Advent, and we saw that he had this ministry in which he was at the Jordan River, and people by the droves came out to him and confessed their sins. And some scholars estimate 1 million people may have shown up or more. It's hard to know. Hey, even if it's 500,000, that's pretty many. That's a lot that's going on. And they all come out and they confess their sins, and they're baptized by John in the Jordan River. And you can keep coming. You know, that's not like the end of your sinful life right there. It's like our practice of confession today. You do a sin, you confess it. You do another sin, you confess it. You know, you probably do that regularly. So you get the idea. Now, John the Baptist, having that many people come to him to confess their sins, you would imagine he got pretty good at spotting a sinner. And a sinner, especially a sinner who's going to confess a sin. It's going to come up, they're approaching in a certain way, they say certain things, they do certain things, and John the Baptist, approaching 1 million of these, is starting to think, yep, this guy's a sinner. So is this one. Here we go. And then he sees Jesus coming, and it's the only one who is sinless. The only one. Now, this was a powerful point in As you can imagine, you know, previous to this, there's very little record of Jewish people being baptized. There was this little incident with Moses sprinkling him with hyssop, you know, getting the water. Maybe that was one time. There's no other time. And here they are taking up this practice to confess their sin. And Jesus, at this moment in history, it comes in and says to John the Baptist, "Here I am." To which John the Baptist says, as you saw, "Hey, wait a minute, I need to be baptized by you. And yet you come to me." And Jesus, another but Jesus incident here, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Isn't that just one of the strangest things you've ever heard? Just, what? It doesn't say that John the Baptist said what. It said he consented, but he might have said what. What are you talking about? So, what does he mean? It's to fulfill all righteousness. Well, there's something going on here that is extremely profound and significant and important for us. Our daily lives, the way that we live, the way that we do things, it goes to the core of who we are as Christians. And if we were in seminary, we'd throw around a big word. Do you want to know what it is? I'm not convinced that you actually want to know what it is. Okay, all right. Recapitulation. That's what we're talking about, recapitulation. And what that means is Jesus took on and participated in fully everything that we do. Anything and everything any human could have ever experienced in any way, Jesus went through it from conception to death and then on to resurrection. With one exception, he did all of that and did not sin. Anything you experienced, any shame you felt, any hurt that came your way, any time you were sabotaged, treated poorly, attacked, left on your own, abandoned, hungry, left without, had your closest friends all abandon you all at once. Anything, absolutely anything you experienced, Jesus has personally experienced it also. And he knows exactly what that is for you. To have your family demean and disrespect you publicly, he knows what that is. He knows exactly what that is. Everything you see in the Gospels is him going through human existence in the same way we do. And that's what that fancy word recapitulation is about. It all came back onto him. And yet he did not sin. Now, what's the significance of that? What does that mean for us? It means this. That everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden through sin, the sin of Adam, Jesus restored all of it. Every second of shame that Adam and Eve felt after that fall, after being expelled from the Garden of Eden, every ounce of shame, Jesus knows what that is. And restores us to what God intended in the Garden of Eden. That's why you see in the New Testament, one of the names of Jesus is the second Adam. The Adam who set it all right. Because we can't do that on our own. Now that is the bedrock foundation where we stand. That which we lost and cannot get back on our own, Jesus completely restores. And that means something for our daily lives. When you feel, I can't do this because I'm not good enough, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I will carry you home. When you feel, I said I would do this, but I didn't, and I don't measure up, and I feel guilty about that, the Father says, you are my child whom I love, and in you I am well pleased. And when you have done something you thought, I never should have done that, what was I thinking that I did that? And the shame that just won't go away because of that is surrounding you. Jesus says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. I want you to grasp from the center of your heart that there is no sin you have committed, no wrong that you have done, no thing that you have not measured up to, whatever the right English for that is. There is nothing that is greater than the love of Jesus for you. No matter how deeply at any point you feel you want to turn away and that he wants you to turn away and that he's not going to have anything to do with you, no matter how deeply that goes into your life and into your heart, Jesus will say always, I will never leave you and never forsake you. One of the things that can block you from hearing your calling and your purpose or a daily step that the Lord may wish for you to take to catching it is hanging around this feeling, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to measure up. God is not going to want me to do this. There's no way that Jesus is looking to me for this. I'm not worthy of it. I have too many vices. That will clog your spiritual ears every time. Part of the reason is that it's easy for us to believe that, well, my sin actually isn't forgiven by Jesus. My sin actually is bigger than the sacrifice that he made. And it's not going away. My sin has to be taken care of by me making up for what I did wrong. It's very easy to believe that, to have that floating and rolling around somewhere in our soul so that it blocks the very message that Jesus has for you. You are my child, and in you I am well pleased. One of my friends some years ago, priest in a church nearby us, had a son who was the youth pastor. And this son got into some trouble. There was a fire that started in one of the buildings of the church, and people thought that the son had started it or was at least at fault. And he actually went to court about it. He faced some criminal charges. He was not convicted. But it was, you can imagine, it was pretty difficult in that church for that family. And this priest very courageously got up on the pulpit one day and said, I know some of you picture my son and you want to put a t-shirt on him with the letters FS, fire starter. But I want to put a t-shirt on him with the same letters FS, fine son. That's what Jesus does with you. No matter what guilt, shame, or unworthiness you want to write on your t-shirt, the Spirit of God writes, you are my child, and in you I am well pleased. So I want to invite you to do this right now, right at this moment. Would you picture where Jesus is with you right now? Close your eyes if you need to. Look out the window, look on the floor, whatever. And where, can you sense the presence of Jesus right now? What is he saying to you? I would take the first thing that comes into your mind. Don't dismiss it. Just don't think, oh, that's just me. Well, it is just you and Jesus. What's he saying to you? What good news is he bringing to you that casts out something that you thought was actually the case but is not for your life? Now, from those words of Jesus to you right now in your life, what step does he want you to take? It might be a really small one, which would be great. But when John the Baptist said, oh, wait a minute, Jesus, I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, oh, let's do it anyway. John took that step. He took that step, poured the water over Jesus like he did a million times before. And the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended and the voice of God bellowed forth. And Jesus was released into the ministry that draws us closer to God. What did he say to you? And what step will you take from that? As you do, the guilt will be washed away. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way you come after us, for washing away the guilt and the shame and the dishonor, for standing with us and never letting us go. We ask that today, we would take the steps you desire for us to take, hear the words you wish for us to hear, and walk forever in what you've chosen to restore. And we ask this for the glory of your name. Amen.